everyone. I'm Kirsten Davidson, your host and creator of my wellness podcast, Mind the Gaps, surrendering our typical ways of looking at life to step out of our comfort zone and into our growth zone. Welcome to episode 4, The Power of Action, where I had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Dr. Taylor Smink. Dr. Taylor is the CEO and founder of Empact Wellness, a sports performance chiropractor and functional medicine practitioner in Burlington, Ontario. Taylor is passionate about living life to its fullest and believes that this can be done at any age. Having witnessed members of her family overcome significant health challenges, as well as experiencing and overcoming some of her own, she knows firsthand what it takes to truly heal and thrive. With this strong why as her backbone, Taylor is committed to being a transformative force in proactive health and optimal aging. She leads a team of like-minded practitioners at Empact Wellness who collaborate using root cause diagnoses and whole body interventions, offering a truly individualized health optimization experience to her patients and her community. Back in high school, I knew of Taylor as the older sister to one of my good friends. Now, Taylor and I have developed a relationship of our own as friends and professionals, as we bond over our shared passion for maximizing mental and physical well-being. In today's episode, Dr. Taylor and I focus on building and breaking habits by harnessing the power of action, taking those first and incremental steps into a better life, steps out of our comfort zone and into our growth zone. Together, Dr. Taylor and I break down what it means to use action to increase our motivation, rather than waiting around to feel spontaneously motivated. We highlight the importance of aligning your habits with your unique purpose, your quote-unquote why, your ultimate goals behind your actions. Dr. Taylor graciously opens up about her journey of letting go of habits that no longer serve her, adopting new and enriching habits, and how important it is to belong to social groups of like-minded and supportive peers through these changes. For daily tips and empowerment on sustainable healthy habits, be sure to follow Dr. Taylor on Instagram at Dr. Taylor Smink and at empact.wellness, both of which can be found through my Instagram page, kirsten.davidson. That's kirsten.davidson. In the spirit of today's episode theme, 3, 2, 1, action. Welcome, Taylor. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
To begin, I asked Taylor to tell us more about her mission and purpose behind using whole body interventions as a healthcare practitioner.
So I'm a chiropractor and functional medicine practitioner. In both of my practices, the chiropractic as well as functional medicine, it's really about finding the root cause of the ailment. So in my chiropractic practice, when people come in with a physical injury, it's identifying, you know, old injuries, different movement patterns that need to be optimized, or where they're carrying stress in their tissues. There's so many different reasons why somebody could be having pain in an area. So figuring out where that's coming from and why that issue is arising, not just kind of rubbing where it hurts, if that makes sense.
Right.
And then similar in the functional medicine practice, all about getting to the root cause of the issues that people are presenting with. Whether that's a skin concern, if it's IBS or difficulties with digestion, acid reflux, there's so many common things that people deal with day to day and they're just told are normal. Mm-hmm. So instead of giving a band-aid solution, it's figuring out why is that issue coming up in your body, which pathways are not functioning optimally, and where is the breakdown happening, and then let's fix that so that ultimately that issue completely resolves.
Right. So treating the root cause, not just the symptom.
Yes.
Dr. Taylor's focus on identifying root causes for pain immediately resonated with me. This is exactly the approach I take as a psychotherapist. Rather than applying band-aid solutions to complex problems like depression and anxiety, we have a better chance at positive transformation by finding where these feelings truly come from and why they're still sticking around. Just as with physical pain, Psychological pain doesn't have to be something we're stuck with forever. It can be healed by getting to the source.
So you had said that the why of what you do is really important to you. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Absolutely. So it all comes down to having a purpose or understanding why you're doing something, right? So just like finding the root cause is important. So why a disease is happening in life in general, having a purpose as to why you're doing something, I find so important to carry you through doing hard things.
Yeah, so having the why, having the purpose is what drives the action.
Yes.
Right, and that's what we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about is the action behind the work.
Yes.
Right? Motivation doesn't just come out of nowhere.
Absolutely. Even in running a business, some days I don't want to be the boss.
Yeah.
Right? Some days I just want to show up and be the employee.
Right.
But then I have to just remind myself of why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And then it's easy to put that hat back on.
Right.
And have that drive. And yeah, like you said, it's not really possible to be motivated every day. I don't think anybody wakes up every morning and is like, I'm so motivated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but that's the misconception that like anyone who goes to the gym every morning at 6 a.m., they must have that spark in them to
No.
just feel like, wow, this is exactly what I want to do right now.
Yeah. So if you think about a ladder, okay, mm-hmm. if your goal is at the top of the ladder, no one's jumping to the top.
Right.
Right? We're all going to take steps.
Mm-hmm.
And those are those actions. It's taking the action, the actionable step, that should give you motivation to get the next step instead of just thinking that you're gonna conquer Rome in one day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that. That's a really good analogy that it does take the steps.
There's, oh, yeah.
There's no way to just, you know, fly to the top.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a moment to talk about one of my favorite therapeutic techniques called behavior activation. A lot of us believe that we need to muster up the motivation to start a new and healthy habit. And because of this expectation, when we don't feel motivated, we blame the lack of motivation for our lack of follow-through. I don't feel motivated to go to the gym this morning, so because of that, I'm not going to go. Behavior activation tells us that we can use behaviors, we can use our actions, to boost our motivation. That actions themselves are what facilitate motivation, not the other way around. Think about it. It's hard to feel motivated to do something you've never tried before. The motivation only comes after we've tried it. Let's take the experience of eating chocolate ice cream, for example. Imagine you've never tasted, seen, or even heard of ice cream in your entire life. This is a parallel universe. Now, let's say someone sets down a bowl of this brown mush in front of you without explanation. From an evolutionary standpoint, you might be innately avoidant of eating this brown mush since the color and texture resembles decay, dirt, feces. Let's say, despite your inclines, you do try a spoonful. Well, now it's game over for that bowl because you've got the dopamine rush from ingesting sugar, the smooth and cool texture and taste in your mouth, and the brain signaling you to keep going back for more. Just like the chocolate ice cream before that very first bite, the gym might look like actual shit and be avoided as such until we've routinely taken action to get there so that we can feel the release of feel-good hormones from exercising. Actions change our moods on a physiological level. So when you wake up and don't feel motivated, you can rest assured that you're not broken, you're not lazy, you just haven't yet put in the action. And without action, the motivation comes far less easily. Repeating behaviors that make us feel good is what makes a habit attractive and easier in future. So now that you all know what ice cream is, you'll be faster to take that first bite. So it's important that we choose our quote-unquote bowls of behavior wisely. Getting moving is that first step, and that's where purpose comes in. I asked Dr. Taylor how she helps clients use behavior activation to help them conquer the steps that make up the ladder towards their unique goals.
Making it manageable. Mm-hmm. If people are very sedentary, you know, I'm just sticking with the physical exercise example.
Yep.
If people are very sedentary, I'm not expecting anyone to start going to the gym 4 days a week.
Right.
Right. So saying, can we add in these one or two exercises once a day mm-hmm. at home? Right. Takes 5 minutes.
Yep.
So manageable. You can do it in the morning when you wake up, or you can do it when you're watching TV at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like making it really bite-sized for people. And then they'll come back and they'll say, okay, I've been doing my exercises. Like I'm noticing this change. And then they're motivated to add in something else.
And that reminds me of what we were talking about. James Clear says in Atomic Habits, that book of his talks about how we build healthy habits and how we also get rid of unhealthy ones. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying before, building the new ones is just as important as getting rid of the old ones. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've got nothing.
Right? Yes.
Like we use the example of if you decide you want to give up alcohol, but you don't have new things in your life to fill that time, you'll feel pretty bored.
Right.
So you want to make sure that your cup is being filled in other ways and healthier.
Right.
Ways.
Definitely. And if that's a great example. So if you're trying to take alcohol out, you're going to need to add in new habits, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to need to change where you're spending your time and maybe even who you're spending your time with. Mm-hmm. So taking that first step to make a new connection or find something to replace that time with so that you're not tempted.
Right.
To go to the bar and drink.
Yeah, it's changing the normal.
Yeah.
Right? Changing what is normal, what is usual, what is something that goes on in your life that you haven't really given much thought to, right? Until you have this new goal, this new idea of giving up alcohol, for example.
But yes.
Like you said, setting realistic goals is probably the most important thing we can help our clients and patients with, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How do we get to the top of the ladder? Not tomorrow, maybe in a year or in a few months or a few weeks, depending on the intensity of the goal.
Yeah. I know, and everybody wants things right now.
Yes.
Right?
Quick fixes.
Our society is so focused on fix my heartburn today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taylor shared a video with me the other day on social media that shows someone saying, I exercise daily, but I still feel like crap. And then it pans to their habits that aren't aligned with their goals and their purpose, some of which included eating fast food, being in toxic relationships, having a cluttered home environment, binge drinking, unresolved trauma, using products with harmful chemicals, low water intake, poor sleep, the list went on. This video reminded me of a story that one of my family members shared with me. She says that she experienced a wake-up call when she wasn't taking care of herself. She was venting to her mom about not having all the things she wanted in life, a partner, kids, a stable job, and her mother turned to her and said, I hear you, but you haven't taken a single step to get to experience any of those things. It was then, she says, that her purpose drove new and healthy actions, and these actions boosted her motivation to sustain them as habits.
If you're eating McDonald's like even 3 times a week, mm-hmm. that's going to have quite a significant impact on your internal environment.
Right.
Or if it's an abusive relationship, maybe it's not abusive every day, mm-hmm. but abuse that you're receiving sometimes
right.
has a huge impact on you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important to talk about the all or nothing, mm-hmm. right? That a lot of people will look at even with abusive partners, right? Or unhealthy habits that, mm-hmm. well, I don't do it all the time. Right? Just some of the time. And then looking at, okay, but if it's just some of the time, can you give it up? Usually the answer is no.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be every day for it to be so ingrained.
Yes.
And when you were saying before about building habits and pairing the thing that you want to do mm-hmm. with the thing that you need to do, habit stacking.
Yes.
Right? So habit stacking is that. It's saying, okay, I'm going to do this while I do this.
Yes.
Right? So that it's more ingrained. And what's the this that I'm doing? It's folding laundry because I have to fold laundry. Well, while I fold laundry, I'm going to listen to a podcast on some new topic that I should be learning about for work or whatever yes. it is, right?
The power of habit stacking is huge. Mm-hmm. Even that relates back to why you're doing it. So you want to learn something new, and so you need to carve out time to listen to books or podcasts mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. But of course, everybody has a busy life and they have to do laundry and dishes and all those other things. You're not going to stop doing your chores, mm-hmm. but how can we add in something else? And then you're purpose driven, right?
Yeah.
You're like, well, of course I'm going to vacuum my whole house because I have a whole podcast to listen to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it actually becomes something you can look forward to. It
yeah.
can change your whole narrative on your day.
Yes. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. Because then these tasks, these like undesired things become desired in
yes.
some way. And still keeping in mind that no, it is not realistic to expect that you're going to get up every morning at 6 a.m. and go to the gym and feel super happy that you're doing that, right? And that's where having accountability partners is important, right? And making the goals realistic so that you're not feeling like you're failing.
Yes. You know, in the past year, one of my biggest lessons personally was that it's actually okay to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that needs to even be talked about with habits. Let's stick with the 6 a.m. gym, for example.
Yeah.
There are some days that you're not going to go,
mm-hmm.
and that is okay. You know, you have to respect how your body is feeling,
right?
But you also have to be realistic, because every morning you're going to wake up and you're not going to be like spunky to get out of bed, right?
Yeah.
But is it okay? Is your body actually telling you that you need more sleep, or that you're getting sick and maybe it is important to take a rest day?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it like, no, you need to push through this, because once you get up and go, you're going to feel so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such an important distinction. What would you tell a client who brings that concern to you? Like, who says, I don't know what's the difference between, am I feeling like I need to actually take a rest, or am I using this as an excuse?
That's a good question. Usually I think I would tell them to reflect on the previous day, right? So in the previous day, how did you feel? Were you well rested? Did you feel like you had energy? Were you sore at all? Do you feel like you're getting sick, or do you feel like your body is fighting something a little bit?
Yeah.
Did you go to bed on time last night? Did you eat good meals? Like, are you hydrated? And then if you go kind of through a little bit of a checklist and reflect on the previous day, then you have a better idea of, you know what, actually, I didn't really eat very well yesterday, and so my sleep wasn't as good, so that's why I'm not feeling 100% today. So this is a time where I should actually push through that,
mm-hmm.
versus if you've been feeling a little bit under the weather and you're feeling run down and you think that you would benefit from more sleep, then that would be like, okay, actually my body would benefit from rest today.
And I think that's, to be able to do that, you have to be really in touch with your body.
Yeah.
To be able to listen to your body and listen to the cues, because yeah, on the other extreme, there is the person who, even when they're sick, says, I have to go or I'm a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think so many people get attached to that word.
Yes.
And especially when building a new habit, feeling like, what's the point? What's the point? I'll never be able to sustain it. Okay, well then let's look at the realistic goal that we can set instead of the one you have in your head that feels impossible,
right,
for you, because there's always a way to start. And I think the best thing that I have heard on how to get started on climbing the ladder, as you said, is another quote by James Clear. We can tell that I've read the book recently. It's on the mind. That whenever you are doing one thing that you would like to see as a better version of yourself, so say it's going to the gym, even if it's just for 10, 15 minutes, like he argues that, just go, just do that action.
Mm-hmm.
You are casting a vote for the person you want to be.
Yes.
I love that quote.
I love that quote too.
You're casting that vote, right? It's all about frequency and being able to push through boredom.
Yes.
So as you said, you're not going to be excited every morning when you're going to do that. Push through the boredom.
Yeah.
Right? Normalize that. It's boring to make habits work sometimes, right? Especially in the beginning phases.
Yes. I think that's so perfectly said. And just to add to that a little bit, consistency is everything.
Right.
Right? So you don't have to give 100% every day. Like you said, if you just drive to the gym and enter the building,
yeah,
and then you turn around and say, actually, not for me today, but you still went, right? You still got out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
You still made that small actionable step. And if you got there and said, okay, I really am feeling run down,
right,
fine, right? But at least you still went. You made that small, consistent effort. And so that's like maybe 10% today. And then tomorrow you'll give maybe 50%. And some days will be 100, and it'll be kind of like up and down, but you're still doing it every day.
Yeah.
Right. That small, consistent effort over time, instead of thinking like it has to be all or nothing.
Right. Yeah. Working with them to understand what's going to fit their goals best.
Yes.
And recognizing that there isn't a one size fits all
solution.
We look at these people that we idolize as, whether they're influencers or whoever it is, right? Well, they do this habit every day, all the time. I could never be that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back to identity. Well, what identity do you have for yourself? And
yeah,
let's go back to, how do we cast votes for the identity you want to have?
Yes.
And whoever we're idolizing, just remember that they're bored some mornings.
Yes, and what you see online is such a highlight reel.
Yes. Yeah. So how do you feel like you have incorporated healthy habits and taken out some habits that you didn't really feel were serving you anymore in your life? Because I know that based on our conversations outside of this, there's been some changes in your life and really admirable ones, I think, especially for a young practitioner and just a young woman in general.
Thank you. So I think now where I'm at, I more so see it as habit stacking in a way, where I have this really good foundation of what I would say the basics are, right? So really high quality sleep, high quality nutrition, a high quality exercise routine, and then surrounding myself with really positive people. I would say that that last one, the people part, has been probably the most challenging for me from a psychological perspective, because you do outgrow people in your life. And if you want to make healthy changes for yourself, sometimes you have to let go of people that aren't serving that purpose for you anymore. More recently, one of the things I've been trying to build into my life is less alcohol. There was a two-month period where I just didn't drink alcohol. And that is when I noticed some pretty significant changes in my social circles, where there were people who stood out who were, not that they weren't supportive, but there was a little bit of shame associated with it, or they would question it, you know, and it was like, oh, well, why are you even coming if you're not going to drink? And then there was other people who, you know, cheered me on and was like, yeah, like, of course, still come. It doesn't matter if you're not drinking. We just want you to be there.
And how did you find that you were able to stick to your goal in those situations where there were some people who weren't exactly part of, we've used the word tribe before, like finding your quote unquote tribe who's going to make whatever habit you're trying to build easy.
Yes.
Who's going to support it, who's going to be able to relate to it in some way, because then you've got this like accountability group.
Yeah, I love that you brought the tribe up. That's something we both relate on, how we've been like searching for our tribe of people.
Yeah.
I think you have to show up as the person you want to be, right? And then you, like, people will either go with you on that route or they won't. So for me, with the alcohol specifically, it came back to my purpose. Like, I found that I was really struggling mentally, and I related that to drinking. So if on the weekend, you know, I would be trying to have fun and kind of de-stress. And then it would take me until probably Thursday, like Wednesday, Thursday, by the time I felt mentally clear again. And so that's 3 or 4 days of work that I wasn't 100% focused.
Right. Most of the week.
Yeah, most of the week. And then it's like, okay, by Thursday, I feel good again. So Thursday, Friday are like bang on days. And then I'm repeating the cycle. And so that became very apparent to me. And then I really understood why I was cutting out alcohol. It was difficult. I think the peer pressure was the most difficult thing, right? Because I didn't want to isolate myself. I still wanted to be around my people. And so in like that one group of friends where I felt more guilted or shamed, it was definitely more challenging, and it actually made me just not want to attend those gatherings. Whereas when I was with my other group of friends who were very supportive, they actually became curious. They asked me why I wasn't drinking, and they created a safe space for me to tell them that I had been struggling with my mental health. And that created, you know, that deepened our relationship. And when they understood why I was doing it, they said, well, we're just really happy that you're still here, you know, like, you don't need to drink to have fun. And I respect that about you. And it's like, okay, like my tribe just got stronger.
Right. That's amazing when the decision to build a new habit actually brings you closer to certain people and maybe new people too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Or people who you didn't necessarily think.
Right. And it's tough to do stuff like that when it goes against our normal, right? Like what's normal? Well, that's usually the norm to be doing that on weekends.
Yes.
So just as we become motivated to repeat an action when it improves our mood, we'll also lose motivation for certain behaviors when they no longer align with our purpose. This is where the cost of certain habits can begin to outweigh their immediate gratification. Let's look at Taylor's journey. drinking alcohol no longer aligned with her purpose of practicing self-care and running a business when the cost of drinking, low mood, and low productivity began to outweigh the immediate gratification of it. When this happens, the behavior itself becomes way easier to let go of because it's just not desirable anymore. The behavior that was once something to look forward to is now viewed as nothing more than that bowl of brown mush, and the temptation is gone.
Taking away alcohol was taking away a bad habit.
Mm-hmm.
And all I replaced it with was better connections with good people.
Yeah. That's so important that you said that, because the connection piece is what we're missing when we are turning to things that are hurting us in the long term, right? We're missing connection. And that's with any mental health concern, right?
Yes.
Anything can be traced back to who are your social supports?
Yeah.
Who are you married to? Who are you dating? Who are your friends? Who are your parents? Who are your siblings?
Yeah.
Who do you work with? Literally everyone who you interact with. They're making up your mental, emotional environment.
Yes.
Right? So one of the questions I ask clients in an intake is, what's the emotional climate of your home?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's so important. That's so important to understand. What are you going home to every day?
Yeah.
Because is that environment going to lift you up? We call that, are these people expanders, right? Like, are the people in your tribe expanding you, elevating you, as you said, evolving, you're always evolving? Or are we just kind of staying stuck and doing the same shit every day?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I know. I think I notice that a lot with clients, especially moms and dads, because I can't speak to this from personal experience. Obviously, I don't have children, but what I witness in my clients is that they're living to serve somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so often that people come to me and they have these issues, you know, simple things like just chronic neck pain. And what they need to do is exercise and strengthen their core. But they live for other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that purpose needs to just be shifted. Like, you're still essentially, it's like you're doing this for your family. Like, you want to be able to do all of these things with your kids. So it's important that you carve out some time for yourself, right? And strengthen that connection with yourself.
Yeah, that's really important that you bring that up, the self-care piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking at self-care as a necessity, not as a luxury,
right?
That's a big shift. And also going back to behavior activation, people won't even want to look at what's the actionable step I need to take if it doesn't revolve around catering to others, if that's your primary role.
Right.
If as a mom, I need to put my kids first every day, they're not really looking back on, well, what am I doing to myself when I'm neglecting self-care?
Mm-hmm.
And how does neglecting my own self-care actually impede my ability to be there for my kids? So just flipping the narrative on its head that I'm going to be selfish today and I'm going to go get my nails done and I'm going to go get a massage and this and that. Well, that's all great, but let's change selfish, right? Let's swap that word out for something else, because when you take care of yourself, you take care of others better.
Absolutely, yeah. I think even in relationships, whether that's romantic relationships or friendships, business relationships, if your cup is not full or you're not able to fill your cup on your own, it's very difficult to give to somebody else. Like, how can you pour into someone else's cup if you can't fill yours on your own, right? And recognizing that, I think, is so big in relationships, and having friendships and relationships that respect those boundaries.
When you have two people with empty cups and you're looking, not only can you not fill someone else's, but you're actually looking to other people to fill your own.
Right.
Right. And if both of you guys have empty cups, you're both going to be disappointed because you can't fill the other and the other's not filling you.
Right.
Right. You're not getting anything out of it anymore. Right. But that's where a lot of struggle will happen.
Yeah.
Because people will get combative that they're not doing this for me, or, you know, feeling disappointed.
Yes, for sure. And so then just relating that back, like, figuring out your purpose, right? And how you're going to show up for yourself. And it's absolutely not selfish ever to carve out time for yourself. It's okay to show up big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
to show up different.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. To show up different.
Right.
Yeah, don't dim your light.
Mm-hmm.
Don't settle. Because, and that relates back to even something you said earlier, if you want to be like this for a future version of yourself, you have to make actionable choices now.
Casting those votes for
yes.
the person you want to be, then, you know, the behavior activation becomes less daunting. The idea that if I take the small steps, if I go to the gym for 5 minutes, if I go to one therapy session, that's always better than nothing.
Yeah.
Even opening a book, like reading two pages, well, that's better than never opening it. right? I heard somewhere, I can't even remember where, that someone referred to self-help books as shelf help books. When we were like, oh yeah, January, new year, you knew me, you're gonna buy like five different self-help books. Yeah. And well, that's a bit overwhelming. Like, I mean I read a lot of self-help books, but that's a lot to buy five. I'm gonna look at those on my shelf and they're just gonna be staring back at me telling me that I'm a failure for not touching them.
Right.
So we wanna make it, back to what you said, realistic.
Yes.
And if I wanna buy, even if I wanna buy two, read at a pace that suits you best. And reading two pages a day seems like nothing. People might laugh at that. It's still better than never picking up the book.
Yes.
Always.
I know. I love self-help books as well. Yeah. And I've read a lot of them. But I think there's such a difference between reading, you know, a fiction book, mm-hmm, versus reading something like a self-help book. So Atomic Habits, for example, it actually took me a long time to get through that book, mm-hmm, because I needed time to process and digest it. You know, I would read a chapter or half a chapter and I would try to implement whatever it was teaching just in that chapter.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't move on to the next chapter until I felt like I had a good grasp on that first thing that I was trying to implement. It's a lot easier to just sit down and read like a love story.
Yeah, because you're taking yourself out of your reality versus reading self-help. You are putting yourself very much at the front seat of your reality.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not as easily digestible, we'll say. And I think that's a great way to read self-help. And let's normalize that reading something like that isn't a small feat.
Right.
The same way that starting any new habit is not a small feat. We, yes, have to look at it with the incremental changes, normalize the boredom, normalize that sometimes you're not going to feel this elation about wanting to pick up a self-help book.
Right.
It's work. Like, it's doing the work.
Yes. If your goal is to read instead of watching TV before bed because you know that the light is affecting the quality of your sleep, mm-hmm, for example, that is such a strong purpose.
Right.
And then you can take that so much further. Why does the quality of your sleep matter? Because the next day you want to perform well. That's where I think purpose is just so important. You, mm-hmm, can take it so far and you can work forwards from it and backwards from it, right? Yeah. So it's like, I know that I want to have a really productive day. So that means I'm going to not watch TV before I fall asleep. Instead, I'm going to read. And if I only read two pages, that's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah. But we do have that all or nothing viewpoint as a, yeah, society of what's the quick fix?
Right.
What's the easy thing to do? But no, you know, big change comes from one quick fad something, fad diet, fad way of living,
no,
fad therapy. Like, I've heard so many different models of all these things and thought, okay, well, there's really just no substitute for time. There's no substitute for time put in and, as you say, consistency.
Yes. We're always just flooded with what everybody's doing, mm-hmm, and it's almost impossible to not compare yourself to it.
Right. It's overwhelming too, right?
It's so overwhelming, but understanding your purpose, why you're doing it, and what your limits are, right? So if I read 10 pages an hour, but you read 100, like, that's really great for you. I'm never going to achieve that. Mm-hmm. And that is so okay.
Yeah.
You're still progressing. You're still making those small little actions towards the person you want to be. And it doesn't matter what other people are doing because you don't want to be them.
Right.
You want to be you. Mm-hmm. So it's like, stop comparing yourself because you think that you need to lift that much weight or you need to eat that many blueberries or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
whatever it is, it just has to fit your purpose. And that's really all that matters.
Yeah. It's really important to talk about the comparison element because that's when the goals become realistic. When we look at someone who isn't us, no one is you, right?
Yes.
Like, we all have our own unique whys and we also have our own unique genetic predisposal to certain things.
Yes.
Right. So Gabor Mate, one of my favorite authors and physicians in this field, he talks about how we can't expect to have the same abilities as other people. This will rub some people the wrong way because we live in a culture where everyone is equal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not to say that someone is better or worse than someone else. It's just, you know, biology doesn't predetermine what we will be great at, but it does predispose us to certain things that we might be better at than other people.
Yes.
And so it's really important when we're discovering what are the habits we want to implement to be realistic about what is going to come easier to me that maybe doesn't come easy to someone else, and then build your habits around that. The example James Clear gives in Atomic Habits is the difference between an Olympic runner versus an Olympic swimmer. Their bodies are built completely different.
Yes.
Being tall for swimming is way more advantageous
Right.
Then, and being short for running is more advantageous.
Right.
So take those two athletes, top of the sport, and flip their sports. They're both at a disadvantage.
Right.
From the start.
Yes.
Because they're just built differently.
Right.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
It's okay to acknowledge that maybe that habit for the next person isn't going to come as easily to me. So what's my why? What's my body? What's my mind? Doesn't mean that I'm stuck. Doesn't mean that I can't do anything. We absolutely can. Just how realistic is it, and how... what's your timeline?
To, like, you know, celebrating your differences. So going back to finding your tribe of people, if you're surrounded by people who celebrate you and give you that space to kind of express yourself in your way, if you're a group of friends going snowboarding, right? And not everybody is at the same level, but it's like everybody's included and we're all gonna meet up at the end of the hill together. You know, we're still spending the day together.
Yeah.
We might not all be going as fast or taking the same route down the hill or whatever the case may be, but we're all gonna end up there together at the end of the day.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I love that analogy. Yeah. Since we both snowboard, so don't feel pressured that the way you're getting to your goal is not the same way as someone else is.
Exactly.
And passion, going back to what you said at the start, your passion, your why, is what makes it all worthwhile.
Yes.
Right? So if you're not passionate about it, don't go snowboarding. There's other ways to fill your cup.
Yes.
And there's other reasons and whys that are going to fill other people's cups.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor, for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, it's always appreciated for you to follow Mind the Gaps on your podcast streaming platform and to share it with your friends and family. To stay up to date on the show, you can find me on Instagram at kirsten.davidson. Thanks for minding the gaps with me today. I'll see you next time on the journey out of our comfort zone and into our growth zone.